But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you, Malachi. How old are you, Malachi? 13. Give him another hand clap, okay? Yeah. Good to have grandchildren that are not only literate, but can read the Word of God. I'm going to make a point about that later. It's one reason I wanted him to come read my scripture today. All right, we're going to be continuing on spiritual discipline. I want to keep this interesting because it could have a tendency to be boring, and I don't want it to be boring. So that's not an excuse not to preach on something, because if we need anything, we need spiritual discipline. How many, just a generalization here. How many could use more discipline in your life? Just raise your hand. Yeah, every one of us. Every one of us. And last year I was, every year, you know, we kind of seek the Lord about what it is he would like to say to the church, our body. And we've got some of the signs like intentional and dominion and some of those signs around. And when I began to talk to the Lord, the Lord kind of impressed on me that he's already talked to me about what he wanted me to talk about this year, and that's discipline. Because I found myself, even though I've learned to be a disciplined person, I found myself very undisciplined in areas that I had learned to be disciplined in. I'd gotten slack, in other words. And we live in an undisciplined society. People pretty much just do whatever they want to do, and with, you know, what they can get away with. And so a portion of that, because we are, as in the Western civilization, we believe in rugged individualism, and we do not like this. That's why, you know, carpooling. You ever notice how hard it is to get people to carpool? And I would be amongst those people also, because if I carpool with you, I don't want to do 15 of your errands on the way home. I want to get home. That's right. So that sometimes we may be going to the same place, and I'd say I'd rather just take my car, that way I can leave when I want to. And that's just the way we are. But then there are other areas that we are spiritually, let's talk about spiritual discipline. And we can get away getting slack in some areas in our life, and you might miss a few workouts, or you might miss, we don't miss many meals. That's a discipline we need to work on the opposite way. But spiritual discipline can begin to affect you and your walk with God. And so it's very important that we drill down and get a hold of this and reapply these in our life. Today I want to talk about Bible intake part one. There's a couple of things, a couple of sessions of Bible intake. And Donald Whitney said there is, I'm taking this from his book called Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian, but Donald Whitney says that the central idea is of spiritual discipline, that there's nothing more important than the intake of God's Word. No other discipline can compensate for the lack of it. In other words, you can't pray enough if you don't read enough of God's Word. As a matter of fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I will tell you, oftentimes we're seeking God, a word from God, when he's already given it to us. And we have not had the discipline to read it, okay? So No other discipline can compensate for the lack of it. And without feasting on the food of Scripture, and he talks about the milk and the meat of the Word, you can't eat meat until you start on the milk. Okay, some people just want to jump the milk part and get right to the meat. And we know you can't stick a steak in a baby's mouth. They've got to start with the milk, and you will graduate to the meat of the Word. But without the milk and the meat of the Word and the food of the Scripture, no one will enjoy growing a healthy spirit and demeanor and lifestyle that is Christ-like. It takes the Word of God. Now, Donald Whitney tells a story about he and some other ministers going to East Africa to the bush country, and they were there ministering, and they gave them some, they were living in grass, makeshift grass huts while they were there. And he said, while I, as a, doing a lot of missionary work and going around, I learned that when you go to the mission field, that a lot of the foreign cultures do not embrace things that are Western culture. In fact, a lot of missionaries have talked about how that we don't go over there to preach culture or Western culture. We go to preach Christ. And you have to make that differential. You cannot go in there and begin to say, well, if we do it like this in America, it'd be better if you did it this way. When they may not even have the resources to do it that way. But their thought processes different, and their culture's different, and they do things differently. So you can't go in there and begin to push that. So he said, while I accepted that, and I knew that many times, it might even seem abrasive to me, but if it's part of their culture, it's not going against the Word of God, leave it alone. But he said, in this particular village, they had an established church, but the elders and the leaders had no spiritual discipline in their life, that it was not uncommon for them to be immoral or to have an immoral affair or to be a thief or to lie about things. And they got to digging deeper to figure out why. Well, the reason why, they had no Bibles there. The pastor had like six sermons that he just rotated. And one of the things they did while they were at this village is pull their money and went and bought some Bibles, inexpensive Bibles, and gave them to the church because the ignorance of the Word of God was costing them. They had no light. They were no different from the rest of the village. And so the Word of God was brought into that village so that a difference could be made. They could read, they could study, they had a measuring stick, if you please. Now, I'm going to say this. I believe that God put morality in man, okay? Because the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, where Paul was rebuking them for a sin that was in the church, he said people are Gentiles, non-believers, don't even do this kind of thing. They know better than to behave like that. So while we have in our hearts a sense of morality and right and wrong, there's no way to prove it or to undergird it or to establish it without God's Word. God put it there, and God's Word is what will solidify it. God's Word is what you can check it against. Am I right here? Am I wrong here? And so this is what the Word of God is about. Which one of you in your business, whatever it is that you do, at one time or another, you really dig down and you begin to study how you can be better at what you're doing? And that's what ongoing education is about too, you know, continued education. And there are particular, Dylan was telling me, happy birthday, Dylan, by the way. Dylan was telling me that he missed out on some tax credits one year because he failed to do some continuing education from one of the companies that he was going to claim some money from. And it's the same thing. How can we say, now I want this to be positive, I don't want to put a bunch of guilt on you, but how can we say we're Christians and we never read the manual? How can we say that we're Christians and we don't study the instruction book? These are questions we should ask ourselves. So I have a couple of questions for you that may affect you or may have an influence on you and how you handle the intake of the Word of God into your own life. And I'm going to give you three practical ways to start off with this morning. But the first question I have, what was Bible intake like in the home that you were raised in? Was there a set time? Did you come together as a family? Remember the old Willie Nelson song, believe it or not, Willie Nelson wrote the song Family Bible. There's a family Bible on the table. An awesome song. If you don't know it, go to YouTube and you can hear Willie sing it. So did your family regularly gather around the Word of God? Number two, have you instituted a time of Bible reading in your home for your family? Have you personally done that? And if you didn't do it in your family, perhaps you don't see the importance of it. If you did do it in your family, you know the importance of it, and you'll probably carry that tradition on. Remember this, that your bread crunchers are going to be influenced, your little ankle biters, whatever you want to call them, they're going to be influenced by what you do. So why not start that tradition in your home of Bible intake? And we'll talk more in detail about how to do this in a minute. I'm reading or listening to a book on Audible right now called Habits of the Mind by James Sire. He's making a case for him. It might be boring to y'all. It's not terribly interesting to me, but I listen to it because I want to see what he has to say, because he's talking about intellectualism, and he talks about how that being a Christian should include intellectualism. That some people think that when you come to God, that you turn your brain off. It's all by faith. That's not true at all. As a matter of fact, you become a better thinker if you have more Bible intake in your life. You become a clearer thinker. You start understanding the purpose of life. And so James Sire says, thinking well is integral to acting righteously. By the way, thank you, JT, for the great Bible study this morning, because it goes right along with what I'm saying. Thinking well is integral to acting righteously. Truth and spirituality are of a piece. In other words, truth and spirituality, they go together. All right? To know the truth is to do it. There is no dichotomy between the two. To be spiritual is to know to do the truth. James Sire says here, my primary goal in this book, the book he wrote about Habits of the Mind, my primary goal in this book is to encourage you to think more and better. The more are to move toward the perfection of the intellect. Though I discuss some, this is James still talking, though I discuss some biblical, theological, and philosophical notions, I am more interested in stimulating good Christian thinking to be put, thinking things that can be put into action than to propagate ideas. What he's saying here is that I want you to be motivated to use your brain. This is the purpose of spiritual discipline and Bible intake one. This is my purpose too. I want you to be motivated to get your brain engaged by using the Word of God. So how can we do it? How can we stimulate good Christian thought? Well, the scriptures tell us, they're very plain. We won't read these right now. We'll read some more in just a minute. But the scriptures tell us Malachi read this morning what the Word of God is good for reproof, for correction. It's good for guidance. It's good to set us on the road, the path where we should be going. The Bible says in Matthew 22 and 37, we were told to serve the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and our strength, okay? Your heart, soul, your mind is in there, okay? We are also told in John 8 and 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what does that mean? That's what we find out by reading the Word of God. We were also told by Jesus that we are to ask, we are to seek, and we are to knock. I will tell you, remember this, one of my favorite quotes by Father Kavanaugh, and I just was looking this up because I didn't realize it came from the movie Rudy, which I tried to watch, and why my wife is gone this week, I was going to watch Rudy, and they wanted to charge me for it, so I wouldn't watch it. But anyway, but Father Kavanaugh is telling Rudy, and apparently Rudy was, really downcast a lot and worried about not pleasing people and doing right and all that. And Father Kavanaugh said to him, "Son, I've studied the Bible for 35 years, and I've only come to two facts that are indisputable. Two facts that I can absolutely guarantee you about studying the Bible for 35 years. Number one, there is a God, and number two, I'm not him." Did you know, I don't care how long you live, you will never exhaust the resources of the Bible's truth. You will be hearing and learning something new every day. You know what? We started Daily Audio Bible, I don't know, years ago, 10, 12 years ago. I'm still hearing new stuff. We were just listening the other day, just to give an example. And this will be put under my first discipline, and that's listening. But we were listening to the Bible the other day, and it was Leviticus, which, you know, like most people get confused, and they lose hope, and they quit reading somewhere around Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, because it starts in the genealogy, and it talks in all that law. And so we're saying, oh, my God, why is it all in there? Well, for one thing, one of the things that I rejoice about when I hear about what they had to do in all of those sacrificial offerings they had to make. If you do this, you have to do this and that, and you do this, you do this and that and the other. I'm thinking, I am so glad all that was fulfilled in Jesus, and I don't have to do that. We don't have to worry about the dove and all the bull and the blood and where it goes and what needs to be done, because it was all taken care of in Jesus. But we were reading that, and he was talking about, when you go to the land I've brought you to, if there is mold that I have put in the house, the priest needs to be brought in there. And you think, wow, see, this is one of the things about engaging your brain. Why would God put mold in the house? He said he did it. God said, I caused the mold to be there. Why? Well, the conclusion I came to, and there may be a deeper spiritual, a greater revelation, and Brian touched on some of that, Brian Harding, who reads Daily Audio Bible, another reason I think that's such a good resource, because he's really solid, he's balanced, he's well-informed, and he gives good commentary. But sometimes it gets a little too long-winded, like your pastor, but anyway, he's still good. So why would God, because perhaps the house had other things that needed to be cleaned out. And God said, I'm going to put mold in there. A priest is going to have to come in here. A priest is going to pray over it. A priest is going to okay it. You're going to have to clean it completely out. What God is saying, I'm actually doing you a favor by putting mold in there for you, okay? Because you're going to work at getting it cleaned out. That's the first time I heard that. I've been reading the Bible for years, and I hadn't seen that. Now, there are some scriptures. Let's look at this scripture here. Let's read. Hang on just a second. Ask, seek, and knock. Also, Jesus said, listen to me, your motivation, JT talked about motivation a little bit this morning too, your motivation of why do I read the scriptures? Your motivation needs to be pure. Your motivation is to know God. Your motivation is personal. You don't read the scripture for other people. You read the scripture for yourself. Now, there is a segment of that where you do read the scripture for other people. We'll talk about that in a minute. But primarily, first and foremost, the Bible is applied to yourself. Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees who were on his radar right away, he said to them, you search the scriptures. You pore over the scriptures. You really read the scriptures. But he said, in them you think you have eternal life. But you don't understand, these scriptures testify of me. You've got all this religious framework. You have all this religious doing and being, and you have missed the message God was trying to give to you. So being greatly educated in God's word is not necessarily the answer. But man, you're making it hard on this preacher. I know God made it hard on me too. He said, ask, seek, and knock. You never stop asking. You never stop seeking. You never stop knocking. Why? That's how God made you. He made you curious. That's why, you know, little Levi come in here on Sunday mornings. First thing he goes to is whatever you don't want him to have. He's curious. He's curious. I remember one of my favorite, and I can't keep doing this or I'll be too late, but one of my favorite stories was Sinbad telling how his daddy taught him and his the boys not to do wrong things. He said, come here, boy. He said, come over. He said, take this wire and stick it in that socket. And he did. He said, don't do that. Now go show your brother. But anyway, so we're curious by nature. And God, that's how God made you. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Paul said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of, he said, I pray for you for this, that give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul said, I constantly pray for you that you have revelation, that you have wisdom, that you are your mind is opened up. Why? Well, so that you understand Jesus, and so that you understand the beauty of the inheritance God has in you, that you're very important to him, and that you have a special hope in the calling that you have. You're called, every one of us are called to be saints. That's your first calling. When you come to the Lord, you're called to be a saint. That means separated unto God. It means that we are working to be holy as he is holy. It starts at that point. And how can we do that? And we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation as we're reading the word of God. We're going to talk about this. We're going to get down into it. I want to break it down over the next two sermons. But the most to start with, the first thing we need to do is that pray that our eyes of understanding are enlightened, the eyes of our heart are opened up. In John 14 and 26, the Lord Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will bring all things I have said to your remembrance. We'll bring to remembrance all the things that I have said. How can something be brought to your remembrance unless it's there already? Correct? Now, there are three practical ways of taking in God's word. As I've already said, this is not only the most important discipline, but there's a lot of sub-disciplines involved in taking in the Word of God. Number one, hearing the Word of God. I just talked to you some about the Daily Audio Bible. My wife and I every day listen to the Daily Audio Bible. Now, let me start here first. Let's take away the number one excuse. What's the number one excuse about Bible reading? Ah! The rest of y'all thought it, and one was brave enough to say it. I don't have time. Apparently, a lot of people believe that because only 18% less than 2%, two or less than 2 in every 10 Christians read the Bible every day. Almost 1 in 4 say that they never read the Word of God. By the way, there was a little uptick in the Word. If you go to Barna, they study these. You can get those studies. They come out like every year or so. But there was an uptick in the Bible reading. Anybody want to guess what period of time that was in? COVID. So the next time you say, God, why would you let this happen? He might answer, because I want my people to read my word. Amen. Now, I don't have time to read the Bible. Did you know that you can read, this is not my figuring, this is a study that was done. You can actually read the Word of God in about 71 hours. That's still a long time, preacher. So let me ask you, do you think it's fair to say, and like I said, I don't want to make this a guilt thing, I'm just trying to get you to think, okay? But do you think it's fair to say that you spend about 3 hours a day watching TV or combined with your cell phone? Some of you probably got the 3 hours just on the phone, okay? Something I hate is that stupid screen time that pops up on there. Because you use your phone for everything, right? But say 3 hours a day. That's about what we do. My wife and I, our favorite time in the evening, we do our devotional in the morning, but we watch TV together in the evenings. Don't be jealous. When you get older, you can do that too. But anyway. But what I'm saying, 3 hours a day. Do you know what we talked about? Bible reading, 71 hours, you could read the entire Bible through. You know what? 3 hours a day in 1 week, that's 84 hours. So don't ever say, I don't have time. You do have time. It's how you prioritize your time. As somebody said, if it is important, it will become a priority to you. Now, back to this. All right. See, I hit you. I'm going to come back around and kiss you now. But anyway. Hearing God's word. Luke 11:28 tells us, blessed are those. But he said more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and they keep it. By the way, scientists tell us that hearing as well as reading is very healthy for your brain, and it actually activates your brain in different ways, but they're very healthy and educational for you. Actually, I did a study when I was teaching online. Some of the Chinese students, I had there for a while before China shut all that down, but I went through a study course they had that was mandatory in programming us for teaching over there. And they talked about, I had not known this before, maybe you do, but they can take a child before they get to a certain age, just a little child, when their cognitive skills are just starting to come together, and they can expose them to foreign languages, and that child will learn those languages very quickly just by listening to them, not even be able to read. That's why we get older. It's so hard to learn some things. Our brain is already developed past that and kind of hardened in that area. Romans 10 and 17 tells us that faith, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, Paul instructs Timothy, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is written, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Now, I've said Paul instructs Timothy. Paul is talking to the church, obviously, at Thessalonica. But he said, when you heard the word of God, you heard us preach it, you heard us teach it, you received it as though it were words from God. You heard it, you received it. Hearing the word of God is one of the best ways to ingest, to take in the word of God. Now, you need to learn how to read it expressively. You need to learn how to read it well. Some people read the Bible like it's a book of death. It's a book of life. And you need to read it. Again, I know I'm partial, and I'm showing that, but Brian Harding in Daily Audio Bible is very expressive. Even his voice can change to sound like a woman's when he's reading the woman's part and what have you. So, but it's excellent reading, and it gets your attention. Let your children read it. When you establish, this is a good way to hear the word of God. You start a Bible reading program with your family. Malachi read my scripture today. I can remember now. It's not so impressive now because he's growing so much. But when he was like knee-high to a grasshopper, he would sit up there and read the word of God. A lot of times Josh would have us for supper. Josh and Callum would have us over for supper, and they'd say, "Hey, y'all want to hang out? We're fixing to have family devotion." Yeah, we'll hang around. And Malachi would start reading scriptures. Then later on the kids. And you know what? They stumbled at first. It wasn't real good, wasn't clear. But they encouraged them. They helped them with the words. They let them read it. You know how educational that is to understand and read the word of God. You realize how much material is based on the word of God. I heard about a guy that was a soldier that he said, I learned to read Shakespeare. He said it was so hard, that old English. It's not even like real English. It probably is real English and we changed it. But anyway, it's not even like real English as we know it. But he said, by learning to read that, it made me look up words. It made me see what the meaning of words. By doing that, I became a better soldier. When I went overseas with the men that were under me, and I got orders to do certain things, I would take that, I would read it. If I didn't understand it, I would look the words up. I'd figure out what they were trying to say. It made me a better thinker. It made me a more rounded person. You know what? I believe God's people are some of the greatest educated people in all the world. But we do a good job of hiding it sometimes. Now, our children were educated at home and in a Christian school. Now, the only two that went into the military were the girls. I don't know, the boys missed it somehow. But our girls went in the military. When they tested in the top percentile of the nation. Why? Because you can make the case for my wife being really smart. But it wasn't because they were home educated or private school educated. I'll tell you why. Because in the home and in the private school was the word of God. I believe the word of God is the difference maker. Hearing the word of God. So who do you listen to for spiritual inspiration? I actually believe that our generation is going to have the least excuse of all generations. You've got every spiritual resource that you need right here on this phone. So somebody said, well, oh boy, phones have made people mad. And then someone else said, and I agree with this, phone never made anybody worse, or technology hadn't worsened anyway. All it did was magnified what you really are. So you can look at trash on your phone, or you can look at the Word of God. Amen. And preachers, who do you like to listen to as a preacher? Pastor Robert Morris, who pastors right here in Dallas, fabulous Bible teacher, great preacher, love him. Jimmy Evans, marriage information, Marriage Today. Joseph Prince, kind of like the modern-day godfather of the message of grace coming back alive in our society. Here he is. He's in Singapore, and he's got churches in Dallas. As a matter of fact, Crystal and Dylan's son-in-law, their mother and dad go to one of the Joseph Prince Grace churches. Timothy Keller, I know you never heard about him. Awesome preaching and teaching. Daily Audio Bible. Not only that, but you know what? I used to spend hours sermon preparing, digging through books, pulling this book down, trying to remember and make notes about things I read to remember to go back to when I'm preaching and I need to go to something. All you got to do now is Google it. Pops right up here. All the resources, and if it ain't what you want, put another word in there. Something different will come up that'll fit that same subject. We have everything to our advantage. But you know what happens? You have to ask God to put a holy hunger in you, or you'll be looking at the wrong stuff all day long. Ask God to give you a hunger and a desire for His Word. Begin to ask Him for revelation and wisdom about the hope that is in you and the inheritance from God that you're going to receive. Of the second practical discipline of taking in the Word of God is reading God's Word. Now, you can't read for anybody else, am I right? You can read to them, and that would make them the hearer. So you can't read for anybody else. So reading the Word of God is the premier intake for your personal devotions, reading God's Word. So, well, you listen to the Bible already. You read to what Bible to? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you need that too. When you're sit there and listen to daily audio Bible, it's 30 minutes or so. Depends on how long-winded Brian is, 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And I call him Little Wendy sometimes. But I love him. But let me tell you something. Let me go back to listening a second, then we'll come back to this. I don't have time. Let me tell you how to get more spiritual in one easy move. Put something on to listen to when you're driving. And you'll start praying and blessing people instead of cussing and yelling at them. So you got a 30-minute trip across Dallas. You've got to go somewhere. You're dreading it. You don't want to do it. Put the Word of God on. Put a good preacher on. Find you a good spiritual novel and listen to that and build yourself spiritually. Now, reading God's Word, Jesus said, and this is a question I believe that God would like to ask us sometimes. Mark 12 and 10, he's talking to the Pharisees. In Mark 12 and 10, he said, have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Have you not even read this scripture? You know why Jesus, kind of like what Josh was saying, and he believes, like I believe, sometimes Jesus was a little bit sarcastic. I mean, he was talking to The people who claim to know all about God and have all the truth in a jar, and you had to come to, you know, they were under the spout where the glory came out. If you got any, you had to come to them. And Jesus said, you haven't even read the scripture? This one? I think sometimes God wants to ask us that. We go, God, I need an answer. God, have you not even read the scripture? I need an answer. You got a book full of them right there. Have you researched out all of that? Remember Jeff Allen? He told one of his friends, a very bold friend, he told one of his friends, he said, I'm either an atheist or an agnostic. I'm not sure which. And Jeff Allen's a comedian. And he wasn't being funny when he told us this. This was true. And his friend said to him, well, what part of the Bible did you not agree with, did you not like? He said, I haven't read the Bible. He said, well, you're not an atheist or an agnostic. You're just an idiot. What do you mean? You haven't even read the Bible. How can you make a decision? And there are times I believe God would say to us, have you not read? So, reading the scriptures, here's what happens as you read the scriptures, and I'm not going to be much longer here, but here's what happens as you read the scriptures. When it really starts to work is when the scriptures start reading you. It's not so much when you're redlining the Bible, but it's redlining you. And you know what I love about our God? He's so patient. And you can walk out of there having conviction from God's word in your heart, and you say, God, here's what I learned a long time ago. Please take this and use it. I learned a long time ago, say, God, I will not justify my sin. I will not make excuses for my sin. But please remember, I'm human and I'm weak. And if you'll help me, I'll work on this sin. That's what you do. Because hiding doesn't work. You know what happens when you start to hide from that conviction that the word brings? When the Lord redlines you, you know what you do? You quit reading the word. Well, remember what I said, truth is truth, right? And to know truth is to do it. You can't know it without it pulling you to do it. And what happens to us, we say, I just won't look at it anymore. And maybe that won't make it true. It's still true. Truth is truth. It always will be. Hearing or reading God's word, as we read the word of God, as the Lord said, have you not read? We need to be read by the Bible. We need to be redlined by the Bible. And as we read the word of God, things begin to happen. And revelation begins to unfold. And as the further you go in life, the more you see the word of God. And you understand, too, there's a theme that develops. You can't understand God's character by one reading. As you read the word of God, and the more you know it, the more you see God's character. It's compassion, it's love. And when people point out some obscure scripture that looks like God's just standing there ready to thump you on the head and throw you into hell, you say, wait a minute, that don't even fit with God's character. That's not what I'm seeing. Third discipline that comes for intake of the word of God is studying God's word. One guy said, reading word can be kind of like a fast boat across the water. Studying God's word is more like a glass bottom boat where you slow down. We knew this guy. You may have heard of him. He's pretty famous, Myron Golden. He's all over YouTube and all. He's a speaker, motivational speaker, and he's really good. He's got some nuggets. I mean, he knows how to pull the nuggets out. And somebody said, Myron, how do you get so many nuggets? He said, I'm a real slow reader. And he said, and people laughed. And he goes, no, really, I have to, that's how I read. I'm a slow reader. I do not read fast. I can't read fast. But I'm a slow reader. And by reading slow, I pick up things that you normally would read right over and not see. And we'll talk more about this later, but I'll give you some methods and what have you of Bible study. They're pretty simple. But studying God's Word is so important to your development and to your growth and just your all-around well-being in Christ. One of the things you learn, let's read this, 1 Timothy 4:16. Let's read this first, and then I'll finish up. Take heed to yourself. This is Paul's instruction to Timothy. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Pay attention, Timothy. Look at yourself and look at your doctrine. By doing this, you will save though yourself and people that hear you. Part of the reason we study God's Word is that we don't believe every message that comes down the pike just because somebody calls himself a Christian. It's got to match up with God's Word. If it doesn't match with God's Word, I'm sorry, I don't want it. I'm done with that. Not too long, I'll just throw this in here real quick. A year or two ago, I got this day planner, and it talked about how special it was and how it really gave you inspiration. And I got it, and I started looking at it and listened to a little bit of it, and they started talking about spiritual inspiration. That's great. But before I was done with listening to the tapes they sent, and I realized they're actually talking about spirit guides. Now, if you don't understand what that means, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, I don't know if you've ever read it or heard about it. It's a famous book about wealth. But he really promotes spirit guides, which spirit guides, if you don't know and don't understand, that's nothing more than spirits other than God, angels, fallen angels primarily, because anything that promotes, just say the book, wealth above your experience with God is a detrimental book to you spiritually. What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added to you. Not add these things. Oh, if I could just get rich, how many people could I influence? No, no, no. Seek God's kingdom and then you'll influence people. If you have the gift, some of you have the gift of making money. You're going to make money. Why not do it for God's purpose? Why not do it with God's anointing upon you? Why not be successful? There's a lot of people make money that are not successful. Their life is in ruins. Why not be successful? Why not be blessed? Why not bless others? You see, there are certain gifts God just put in you. They're going to work. And they're either going to do good or they're going to do destruction. And what God's Word does, it brings a success. So by me knowing God's Word and understanding spirit guides, where Paul said, there's only one gospel. Even if an angel of light appears to you and says, this is the way you should go, let him be accursed. Do not listen to him. So I just took the whole mess that I spent $60 on or whatever and threw it in the trash. And I don't want nothing to do with this. You can only get that if you study God's Word. You can only know these pitfalls if you're in God's Word. I like JT talking. His dad always said, well, the Bible says, I don't know what the Bible, what do you say? I'm sorry, you come to me, that's going to be one of my, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And if you say, I don't know, I may say, I don't either, but let's read it and find out. Let's study up on this. Let's see what the Word says. I close with this story, probably one of the most powerful stories I ever read as a young man years ago. Captain Howard Rutledge, who was a captain jet fighter pilot, and he was shot down in Vietnam over a small village. And get the book and read it. It's still it's awesome. It give you this warning. It does have some very horrible depictions of some of the torture they went through. So, warning. But he was shot down, and from the very beginning was like nail-biting because he knew they were looking for him because they saw the plane go down, and he talks about how he would move inches by the hour trying to get out of there because he knew they were looking for movement, any kind of movement, and how he started praying. But anyway, he was captured and was put for 7 years in a POW camp. And he tells about the brutal treatment that he received. I remember when the first thing he did, put him in this real small cage, and there were rats as big as cats, and their food had wiggly stuff in it. They would tie their arms and legs in such a way that for hours they would be tied up. And the thing that gave him sanity was the Word of God, as well as others in that camp. And you know what? He was raised in Oklahoma, Captain Rutledge was, and the thing that he started, he knew this physical body would probably perish, but he started saying, there's a part of me you can never kill. And he thought back to his Sunday school days. And he started trying to remember scriptures and songs. One night during a huge thunderstorm, a bolt of lightning knocked out the lights. In the prison, he lay down to sleep, listening to waves of falling rain. Suddenly, he began humming his 37th song. They kept adding up and adding up, as well as the scriptures. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And they worked out a Morse code communication when they knew the guards were asleep or whatever, and they would share scriptures through the wall. One would get a piece of scripture, another one would get another piece of the scripture. Their favorite scripture was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And they tapped these scriptures and they would hum the song. He said the thing that kept him going was the power of the Word of God in that POW camp. Get it read if you want to read a powerful book called In the Presence of Mine Enemies. It was so powerful that at the end of their time in the POW camp, the guards had actually gotten quite a bit lax with them, and they began to have some services in a limited way amongst themselves. Now, first off, praise God for Sunday school. We can all use teachers. They are so important. It's not just about putting the kids somewhere while we have church. It's about teaching them Word of God. Thank God for Sunday school. But let me ask you this. Captain Rutledge and these other men were drawing on their Sunday school days. What if they were drawing on scripture time around the Bible as a child? How much more powerful would their experience have been? I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. I want to be strong. I want to have integrity. I guess one of the best definitions of integrity I've heard is doing what is right even if no one is looking. Integrity. I want to I forgot to go on here. Another scripture. We're not going to read it. But Zechariah was studying the Word of God so that he could teach the ordinances of God's Word to others. Paul told Timothy, if you know the Word of God, you not only can save yourself but save those that hear you. Part of your responsibility as a Christian, and I can't make this, drill this in enough, part of your responsibility is to help others know God's Word. Parents, your first calling is to your children. Grandparents, your first calling is to your grandchildren. How different would it be if we kept God's Word going from generation to generation to generation to generation? But we've got to love it. We can't be afraid of it. We've got to embrace it. We've got to be motivated to it. And that's what God desires from us.